Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ark Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good Wednesday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. You are listening live to 106.7 The Fan. We are back in the nation's capital. We are in the Navy Yard in our Half Street Studios. Travel in the rear view. A wonderful trip to Kansas City behind us. Everything was great but the game, but we are happy to be back. In D.C., we're giving away Caps tickets today in 2 hours, right at 4 o'clock. Danny, what's up?
Not much, my friend. I had a bit of a, I don't know, harrowing is the right word, a minor incident today. So Tobes and I met for Fitness Wednesdays. We got after, did a great job. No one vomited today. I can confirm, right? I saw Toby the entire time and never left my sight, but I got one of those calls unknown number type deal. And it's like spam risk. And it's like, no, that's not for me. I don't really need that. So let it go to voicemail. And immediately whoever it is starts texting going, where are you? I'm like, yeah. That's, again, I'm not really interested in telling you where I am at this point. I might be like, I'm in the gym at 1015 Half Street. What are you going to do? Not really into like telling him about that. So I'm like, who are you looking for? And he's like, where are you? Again, I'm not, now I'm in it too far. I don't like this very much. So I put the phone down, take a shower, post-workout, and I come back to two more missed calls from this number and a text message. Like, I'm at the corner of Washington and Garfield or something like that. I'm like, what city? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't really understand what's going on. And then I get the notification. Your Grubhub order is here. No, I didn't order Grubhub. You didn't order Grubhub. Toby didn't order Grubhub. You know who did? My wife did. That is what was happening. He was calling me to try to drop off her Nando's Peri Peri for lunchtime. And then all of a sudden, now I'm texting her. I guess in the lobby, she's like, which lobby? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know your building, man. I don't know your life. I got no idea what you're talking about. Point is, he's calling me. I got to go do the show, but there's some follow the smell of the chicken. Go to the lobby and start sniffing, and you got a shot at it. It all worked out, but it was harrowing for a little bit. Everyone was mad at me. Not my fault.
I get the accidental call from the daycare at the gym where my wife works out all the time. So, and for some whatever reason, they have my number, and every time it's the exact same. I'm getting a call. I know what's happening. And they say the baby needs to be changed or something happened or somebody's crying or whatever. But as soon as I answer the call, they go, oh, sorry, Mr. Paulson, we'll call your wife. I go, no problem.
No problem.
And it's, you know, once or twice a week. And I know now, my wife's going to have to deal with this. But my number is the first one that pops up, so I can relate to that. I just heard Savannah talking about the World Series in the update. I can't believe what a fight the Blue Jays are giving the Dodgers here.
I love it.
I got to give them a lot of credit. I gave them little chance. I thought L.A. was going to roll, and it just felt inevitable. And they still might win this thing in six, for all we know. But to beat 2-2 through four games, decidedly better last night. To have gotten up off the mat after that excruciating 18-inning, exasperating loss to even this series with a six spot last evening, another big home run from Vladimir Guerrero Jr., this has been a way better, more competitive, closer World Series than I thought. And if you're into baseball like I am, you are thoroughly enjoying yourself. I was watching it on the plane all the way back last night. But Toronto just, they keep coming. You know, you think, oh, well, this is going to be tough to come back.
Yeah, now it's over, right? Right?
Now the Dodgers have this guy pitching. They've gotten to most of their starters, whether it's Blake Snell or Shohei Ohtani, other than Yoshi Yamamoto, really. They've done a pretty good job knocking guys out of the game.
I mean, if you're Toronto, you know you're the upstart. You know that they're the overdog, they're the house, and they're on the blackjack heater, right? They got Blake Snell and the aforementioned Yamamoto going over the next two nights. All you're saying to yourself is, let's try to win one. Let's try to win one of these. Obviously, you go from both. I mean, you do the best you can. But if we win one of these next two games, we'll go back to Toronto for a little game seven. You want to see that? I do, right? And if you're them, it's Max Scherzer, by the way, who would start game seven. Can you imagine?
Yeah, sign me up.
Seriously.
I would pay good money to see that in person. The Wizards last night did exactly what I would have them do if I could design it and script it like a movie. They had a bunch of young guys play really well. They led by a bunch for much of the game. Then they completely cratered in the fourth quarter and lost in overtime.
Oh, by 10 with about 2 minutes to go, I think, yeah.
They got outscored 2-1, 32-16 in the fourth quarter, and then 13-8 in OT to lose 139-134. But that's not what's important here. In fact, you're a top eight protected selection. You need to lose a requisite number of games this year for everything to go well with this great draft class ready to come out in the NBA. But 31-11 last night for Alex Saar with 5 assists. That's great. Keyshawn George has now scored 20 or more points in 4 of 5 games this season.
Dude.
He's going to be on the show today. We've got him on during our Beltway Blitz coming up just after 4 o'clock after we give away those Caps tickets. But last night, almost a triple-double, 20 points, 9 boards, 8 assists for Keyshawn George.
So this, by the way, I'm taking nothing away from the stretch. He's been sensational to start this year. It's a versatile offensive bag, and it's not necessarily the, like, you know, high flying, jump over everybody, take off from the foul line, Zach LaVine type style. It's that, you know, who reminds me of right now offensively. Remember Joe Johnson, played in Atlanta forever, just can do a little bit of everything and always finds a way to get that shot off, to a little bit of space, dead eye, knockdown shooter. He looks really good. I'd love to see what happens. And this is the beauty of this rebuild where they're giving the kids a chance. Let's see what happens when he's number one on the scouting report. Let's go around it's like in baseball. It's like, okay, there. James Wood, you had a nice couple of weeks. Well, what about now when you're the guy we're worried about beating us? How do you adjust what happens? I want to see that. But for just over a week, he has been sensational. Talking about George.
Yeah, we're about to find out because teams are going to start gunning for him defensively.
Mm-hmm.
He's also shot it so well from three. He's had multiple games where he shot over 50% with three or more threes early this season as a 3-and-D guy. He's showing out. So you'll hear from him in the Beltway Blitz today. And then the Capitals played last night. First time all season, they've lost consecutive games. This was a much better effort, though. They played a really good Dallas Stars team on the road. They lose 1-0. Basically, what happened was they ran into a goalie who played his butt off last night in Jake Oettinger. And on top of that, they hit 3 posts. So when you got a goalie who's fantastic and you deal with some bad luck offensively, you're going to have a hard time scoring. You'd like to get more than 0, but they lost 1-0 in Dallas. They're 6-4 now. Still the one you want back was Saturday night against Ottawa, which was pretty embarrassing. But they dealt with a lot of injuries in that game. Some of the news, better than others, sounds like they avoided what was a scare and a long injury with Dylan Strome, which is a big deal.
Last night, I don't have a better way to say this, is a reminder that sometimes that sport is stupid. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like, I'll take that effort every time. The one that, was it Sunday? My days are all confused. Was it Sunday
Saturday
against
night,
Saturday?
We were at Jack Stack. Yeah. I was watching it on the phone going, they scored again.
Yeah. They went for two, didn't get it, didn't matter. Those are the ones that kind of frustrate you. But last night, you just kind of go, hockey guy's not on your side, as you said. Rang the post a few different times. Very competitive, playoff-style hockey game. To me, it's concerning when it's not competitive defensively, because that's where this team's bread is buttered right now, I think. I think the scoring chances are going to come, but I love the way they've played defense for the most part. They've had a couple combined 2 games, I think, against Vancouver and then against Ottawa, where they've given up almost a dozen goals over those 2 games where they look lackluster defensively. When they're right, they can play a lot of those games, and I'll take my chances in that kind of environment every night.
Let's talk NFL here for a second before we get to the Commanders. We have not gotten a chance this week out of our normal weekly rhythm because of the Commanders Monday night game to kind of dive into the national football landscape. But just going quickly through the divisions, the NFC West is fun. I think all three of Seattle, the LA Rams, and San Francisco could win that division. They're all 5-2 or 5-3. We're going to get a good hard look at Seattle on Sunday Night Football when they come in here. From a DVOA standpoint, they're one of the most complete teams, defense and offense. Sam Darnold had a great breakout last year in Minnesota. I think a lot of people felt like that was just a Kevin O'Connell, Justin Jefferson creation. He's proving that he is actually a guy with some game who can play. But meanwhile, you've got to deal with the Rams. You got to deal with the 49ers. I still think the best team in the division, if Matt Stafford stays healthy, is the LA Rams with their pass rush on the other side of the ball. But their tiebreakers aren't as good. They're 0-1 in the division, and they're 0-2 in the conference right now. So Seattle, with two wins in the NFC, 1-1 in the division, and certainly San Francisco, they've beaten Seattle and the Rams already this season. They're 5-1 in the NFC. They've done the best work for themselves as far as the resume they're building to try to get where they want to go.
And they got a negative point differential. Just tells you that when they haven't had their guys, and that's been a lot, they've just been underwhelming. I mean, you and I both noticed last week when they were underdogs going to Houston, like that's one of those head-scratcher games where you go, I'm going to stay away from that gambling-wise because there's somebody who knows something I don't know, and they were double-digit losers against the Texans who have really struggled to this point this year. But you mentioned it. It's as good a coaching job as you're going to find for Kyle Shanahan, right, where it's everybody that matters for them has been out, from quarterback to linemen to defenders to offensive weapons. It's receivers off the street. It's the Christian McCaffrey show, and everyone's invited. They found a way to be 5-3 in a pretty good spot with Giants, Rams, Cardinals, Panthers, Browns coming up.
Ooh.
You know, them and the Rams obviously are going to be competitive, but everybody else feels pretty winnable. We could look up. This was kind of the thesis on them. They may not be that good, but they can be a double-digit winner, one of the highest over-under totals coming into the season this year.
Based on the fact that mostly that they were going to play seven games against teams that picked in the top 10 last year.
Yep.
And based on what you just illustrated, it sounds like they're about to hit a patch here where they've got a pretty soft underbelly they can cut open into this schedule and stockpile some wins. So what they've already accomplished gives them a real legit shot. NFC North might be the most competitive division in the NFL because you've got Green Bay and Detroit who both think they could be one seeds in the NFC. The Packers, by virtue of their tie, 5-1-1, with just one loss this season, are the number one seed in the NFC right now. And Detroit at 5-2, just behind them. Chicago lost a game they'd like back in Baltimore this past weekend.
Yep.
As an underdog, they could have gotten a 5-2. Instead, they're a 4-win team. And Minnesota's completely fallen by the wayside. Big quarterback issue. McCarthy didn't play well. They went to Wentz, who's hurt, now out for the year. He struggled immensely as well. They're going back to J.J. McCarthy. I would say that they're pretty cooked, though, at this point. 1-2 in NFC play, 3-4 overall. They're Washington with a bye already, basically.
Yeah.
It's the same resume the Commanders had going into the Chiefs game, but they don't have Jaden Daniels in the offing coming back healthy. They don't have a backup like Mariota they can turn to. I just don't see how they're going to get the quarterback play to hang in that division. But the better question really is Green Bay or Detroit. Green Bay's got the tiebreaker because they pummeled the Lions in week one. Detroit's been better since week two, I would say. But those two teams, one of them might be a wild card as like the second best team in the NFC.
That collision course for that very thing to happen, right? I mean, you know, you look at the other divisions too. Tampa Bay 6-2 has now established a couple game lead over everyone else in their division. Everyone in the NFC West is going to keep beating each other up, I think. So three playoff teams likely out of that division. So then you look to the NFC East, as we're talking about, and Philadelphia, again, a lot of daylight now for them. So the number one seed race is on. The division race is on. Whoever doesn't get it, to your point, is probably the 5 seed, maybe the 6 seed. It just, again, kind of depends. It'll be like last year was, where a 10-win team didn't make it. An 11-win team, I think, was like the 6 or 7 seed. It's going to be hotly contested in that division because those top two teams now are showing some daylight, and they're really good.
In the AFC, the biggest story maybe is the New England Patriots. Still out front of Buffalo 6-2. And if not for having played the Bills, I think we could pretty easily say, oh, they don't play anyone. But here's two factors to consider. Number one, they did play Buffalo and beat them.
That's their signature win. That's feather in the cap.
You can't take that one away from them. And they're also almost plus 70 in net differential right now. As an example, only the Indianapolis Colts and the Kansas City Chiefs have a better net point differential than the New England Patriots. So Yeah, they're playing some weak teams, but they're destroying them at this point. And their quarterback, Drake May, is a top two or three QB in the NFL this season right now. He's playing at an MVP level. They've got the coach of the year on their sidelines as of right now in Mike Vrabel. They've completely turned it around. I would still pick the Bills to win the division, just a longer track record, betting on Josh Allen. But New England's schedule is so charm and soft, they're not going away, man. They're going to be there with a couple weeks to go with a shot at this thing.
And they are ascending, too. First few weeks of the season, not impressive. They lost to Vegas, which is still one of those losses where you go, man, that was one of those week one flukes now that we have more data points, right? Eked out a win over Miami in week two, talking about New England. A weird, strange game they probably shouldn't have lost against Pittsburgh, to be honest with you. But since then, three games they've outscored their opponents by around 20 points or more. Then they've got that Buffalo win and a kind of a gritty, we didn't play great, but we still beat New Orleans win as they've won five straight. Again, the arrow is trending up massively for that team.
Yeah, it sure is. AFC North, the Ravens are still a betting favorite in some books to win the division. And I saw this morning, one of the places where I look at playoff odds, so it gives you the percentage chance that a team gets into the postseason. At 2-5, think about this. They have the Ravens as 56% likely to make the playoffs.
Mm.
So if you have buried Baltimore, you need to think twice about that. Not just because they're getting Lamar Jackson back, but they had a season-saving win without him against the Bears with Snoop Huntley at quarterback this past weekend. And now they go to Miami. They're expected to win. Then to Minnesota. They'll be favored in that game as well. Then they play the Browns, the Jets, the Bengals, before the Steelers in December. So, Danny, I just ripped off. That's five straight games against non-playoff teams. Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, Bengals. They can't afford to lose more than
one
of
those. No more slip-ups, right?
You got to go 4-1, but there's a chance they go 5-0. Even if they go 4-1, though, they're 6-6 to go into the final five games of their season with a really good chance to make the playoffs. I think there's a better chance, honestly, that they're 7-5 at that point.
I think so, too. And it's what I pointed out when they had lost. I mean, they got throttled at Houston, right? 44-10, one of the worst games I've ever seen that organization put out, right? You're used to them. Even if they lose, it's usually competitive and, you know, maybe there's a player or two doesn't go their way or, you know, the play gets overturned and they're close or a fumble doesn't break right, whatever. But they got throttled that game. And I kept pointing out they're not done yet. I know everybody's looking at them and saying they're cooked. That you get through the teeth of the schedule. Once they come out of that bye week, even without Lamar Jackson and double-digit winners against the Bears, although it was probably a little closer than that, to be honest with you. That was back and forth, could have gone either way. They take advantage, and now you're catching a bunch of teams at the right time that aren't particularly good. They could stockpile some wins, and nobody really wants to win that division right now. Nobody, like Cincinnati, had the greatest opportunity ever to tread water and survive and be 500 without Joe Burrow, squandered it this weekend.
Yeah, that loss for them to the Jets
was haunt
a killer.
Them. Yep.
Absolute killer, opens the door wide open for the Ravens to get back into this thing. But everyone is banking on Baltimore handling their business, and I think we're forgetting that that is a flawed team with a really,
yes,
really bad defense.
Yes, it is.
So it is possible that one of these games we don't see them losing, whether that's Minnesota or Cleveland or whatever, you stub your toe, and all of a sudden you're in big trouble again. But they control their destiny, and you've got an MVP-caliber quarterback who should make you a team that could win almost every single time out. AFC West, we just saw the Chiefs. They are right back in the thick of that race, one game behind Denver. They've got the Bills this weekend, then a bye, then the Broncos. If they can beat Buffalo, go into their bye, come out and beat Denver, they're going to be sitting pretty at 7-3, all alone in first place, very likely, at that point. The Chargers are still hanging at 5-3. Everybody said, after last year, all three of those teams won't make the playoffs again like they did last season. Right now, the Broncos, Chargers, and Chiefs all look like playoff teams.
The Chargers have rebounded. That was important for them. Because remember, when Washington saw them, you know, they were on their way to being up 17-0. But after that, they looked pretty inept, right? They were so injury depleted.
But they just lost to the Giants, too, with basically four new starters on the offensive line.
Yeah, and, you know, they eked out the I mean, a cringeworthy win over the Miami Dolphins on the road. Whether they should have won that game or not, whatever, they did to go 4-2, but you're going, yeah, they're not trending right. Indianapolis beat the brakes off of them. And all of a sudden, a great defensive performance this weekend against the Vikings, and you kind of go, wait a minute, that Chargers group is not dead just yet. Is it maybe they get healthier down the stretch, a bye week in week 12 to kind of, you know, go through their version of a gauntlet at the end of the season. Eagles, Chiefs, Cowboys, Texans, Broncos to close it out. They're one of those teams that needs to stockpile now over the next few weeks before their end of the season where they're going to have to, you know, kind of fight for every inch.
Wanted to spin you around the NFL because of the rhythms getting thrown off with the Monday night game, recapping the contest throughout much of the show yesterday. Wanted to start there. We'll get into the Commanders now. By the way, it is Tuesday, which means it is a Survivor Tuesday on Grant and Danny. It's actually not Tuesday.
I know.
It's Wednesday. It's Garrett Wednesday. Just told me. But it feels like a Tuesday.
Yeah. Even though Tuesday has no feel, This is a Tuesday-ish.
This is going to be a struggle. I'm just going to let you guys know.
Dude, we're fighting it. You know, I get in at 12:30. The baby was up at 1. My 7-year-old's up at 3, you know?
What time did you get in bed last night?
Well, the first time, 12:30. Baby's up 7 seconds
way
later.
Way better than I did.
Yeah. Then my 7-year-old comes in with a toothache at 3 a.m., which is just a great thing to have happen.
So normally I tell you that you're running in front of everyone and doing whatever weird things that you do at the airport doesn't help you that much. I think it helped you a little bit last night because you beat me into bed by about 35 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when you get off the airplane, you were directly competing with every person on that plane for resources. Like, so I beat 50-some people to the taxi line. As they're meandering, they're taking their time. They're like, oh, hon, do you have my keys? No time for that. I'm city walking. I am striding it out.
Well. Yeah. I didn't have a taxi line either, for the record, or an Uber line, but it took 5 to 7 minutes, whatever, for the Uber to get there. But I got a text from you saying you were on 395 as I was getting out to the curb. So you did very well.
Crushed it.
But yes, it'll be an early bedtime, I think, for me tonight.
I agree with that.
If the Blue Jays and Dodgers don't.
I'd like them to comply with that, please.
Me up again.
No more classics. Let's get a beat down one way or the other.
Absolutely. But it is Wednesday, as I was saying. I don't know if you guys remember.
You said that, yeah.
Commanders Survivor, Facebook.com/Grant and Danny. You're going to vote somebody off the island. You're going to give somebody immunity. So, Danny, let's run through who's remaining on Commanders Survivor.
QB1, Jaden Daniels, Ja'Cory Krosky, Merritt, Debo Samuel, Laremy Tunsil, who is immune this week, Josh Connerly Jr. on offense. On defense, Javon Kinlaw, Daron Payne, Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, and Trey Amos.
I'm going to think that Jaden and Tunsil, you said Tunsil's immune?
Tunsil's immune, yes.
And some of the guys that got injured are probably safe in ways that isn't always the case because there's enough bad from this performance.
Mm-hmm.
That I think you can find a guy or two to vote for to kick someone off the island. But I don't want to lead the witness. Again, go vote. Facebook.com/Grant and Danny is where you can vote today. Send somebody home and give somebody immunity on G&D. Next, let's get into the Commanders. Last year, head of the class, top of the NFC. This year, basically the bottom of the conference. Which season is more authentic to where this program is right now? Who are the real Commanders, do you think? We're going to chew on that on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ark Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at UnitedHealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll take you up to 6:30 this evening, 4 hours from now. At 4 o'clock, by the way, in 90 minutes, we're giving away tickets to see the Capitals. You got to be listening if you want to win those. Just as a little tidbit for those of you wondering, the NFL trade deadline is 6 days away, Tuesday next week at 4 p.m. Washington's got the third most money in the NFL in terms of salary cap space at this moment. Now, they would likely be sellers if they're anything. I don't think they'd be buyers at this juncture. But they're probably not going to do either. Most teams don't. It's not like baseball where you've, on a binary, got to choose buying or selling and you throw pieces into the market or you add. But if they were going to do something based on how they're playing, they should probably sell.
Indeed.
But because they have the third most money, it's just interesting that you could take on an asset, right? Just like the Patriots, who have $49 million of the most money. I'd be curious to see if New England gets creative here and tries to find a flaw.
Yeah, we'll take your bad contract type, you know, NBA style.
$48.9 million to play with in cap space.
By the way, that is wild that they have that much.
It's nuts. The Cowboys, who never have cap space, have $31.2 million right now.
I guess that's your Micah Parsons off the books kind of thing?
Helps. Yeah. Restructured contracts as well. Mm-hmm. Commanders, $26.28 million. Lions, $23.9 million. And the Browns at $21.7 million. But among the contenders, teams that are playing really well right now, the Patriots at about $50 mil. The Lions with $24 million could go help themselves and bring in a piece or two if they needed to. And then the 49ers and the Steelers are high on this list as well. San Francisco, $20 million in cap space. Pittsburgh, the same. The Seahawks, $20.1 million if they want to try to get to a place where they think they could go on a run.
And they all should, by the way. I mean, all those teams that you just mentioned. Detroit, you know, you can never have too much defense when your offense is the buzzsaw that it is. Just another playmaker here or there, someone that's fallen out of favor somewhere. For the Patriots, maybe an offensive lineman, maybe, you know, again, they've invested in a lot of spots. Maybe a wideout that's gruntled or on his way to disgruntled. Who knows what they could use. But again, they've got enough flexibility to take on whatever they want.
Was the TV show back in the day where there were three people claiming that they were the guy in question and they had to stand up and sit down and stand up and sit down? Was that called To Tell the Truth?
I think so.
So I want to go to Tell the Truth on the Commanders right now, which is different than Tell the Truth Mondays, okay?
There's a good distinction there.
To Tell the Truth Commanders.
Or Bennett Amalo telling the NFL to tell the truth.
The line that they used to say in that show all the time was, will the real Danny Ruye please stand up? And then, like, I'd stand up, but I'm not him, so I'd sit down, and we're juking people, right? Will the real Washington Commanders please stand up? Here's the question. Which version of this team is closer to the truth? The group that was a 12-win team last year that got to the NFC Championship game, or this group right now that looks like it's going to struggle to get to seven or eight wins at this current trajectory that is ravaged by injuries and has lost three straight. We'll throw that out to you guys on the phones at 800-636-1067. Mick is in Ashburn to get us started on Grant and Danny. Who's the real Commanders, Mick? Which one do you think is more authentic, last year or this year?
Hey, boys. Clearly, it was a brief shining moment that they had last year. It was Camelot. It was Fortune. It was everything going your way. It was the Bears. It was the Giants kicker. Bobby Wagner on his putting together a great year before Father Time catches up. And it's all coming to a head this year. Regular amount of injuries, perhaps more. Jaden's going to be great no matter what, but, you know, a little bit of the injury slump. Maybe Cliff is being exposed a little bit, but, you know, they even got lucky against the – not lucky, but the Lions were decimated on defense last year in the playoffs. They earned everything they had, but this is back to the norm for us. Sorry.
Do you think they're as bad as it looks right now, though? Do you think this is for real?
They're lumped in with, you know, 15 other teams right in the middle of the pack. They're not top 10. They're not top 12. They're not bottom 10.
That I agree with, yeah, for sure. I mean, by way of record, like, if you look at the standings right now, they're not really lumped in with all those teams. They're below them. I mean, they are 3-5, and only the Cardinals, the Giants, and the Saints, two of those three have benched quarterbacks already this year, are worse than the entire NFC. If you look at the entire NFL, I mean, there's, you know, six teams in the NFC, including the Raiders and the Browns and the Dolphins and the Jets and the Titans, who are worse than them. But at 3-5, you know, they're a bottom 10 team in the NFL, which is where I would push back on someone saying this is what they are. I think they're better than this. Last year was not authentic either.
Yep.
Spent the entire offseason saying they lived a charmed life. They rode the magical carpet ride all the way to the NFC Championship game. But on a binary, if you got to put them in a bucket, what are they closer to? I guess probably this. I just think that the injuries have piled up so badly for them that what should have been a 9-ish, 10-ish win team maybe could end up winning 6-7 games now.
And I think that's the point here, is they're not either of those things. This year, they're not outscored by, you know, 20-some points, 3-5, you know, lose by 20 points per week type team to Dallas and then Kansas City. They're also not what they were last year. We talked about it many times. I had fun. I hope everyone else did too. That was as charmed a life as you're ever going to lead, what happened last year. That was probably an 8 or 9 win team that got every break possible, had some magic, had the belief, and they're all, you know, having so much fun. Injuries didn't really hit them very hard. It was basically guys like John Allen out for the year. They came back in the postseason, but there wasn't what's going on right now, where they already have more man games missed now than they did all of last year among key contributors. But it's also, the flip side of that is, when you are an old, slower, veteran team, you're susceptible to this. So there is an element of realism to this, where the oft-injured player like Noah Brown is injured. That's real. That's not like some sort of fictional underachievement.
Yeah, I like to bring this up occasionally because I think it's very true that the injury luck has been terrible, and there's nothing they could have done about a lot of it. Some of the guys getting hurt are very young, by the way. But you were the oldest team in the NFL. That's the roster you built. And we pointed this out before the start of the season. It wasn't just that you were the oldest among 32 teams in the NFL this year. They were the oldest team in the NFL in over a decade that's been built in average age, to the point where we're asking Adam Peters before the start of the year, is that a concern? Why is this not a weakness? Why aren't you worried about this? But it's not just, oh, they're older than the other teams right now. There has not been a team built with this average age, this old, in over 10 years.
They're historically
in the NFL.
Old. Yeah.
And I saw a stat circulating on a Twitter today, Danny, because a lot of people have pointed out how many young guys are getting run right now and the snaps by some of the kids, which is a great sign. In terms of average age of the snaps this year by team, offense for Washington was 5th. So in other words, tally up all the snaps, get the average age of the player. 5th oldest in the NFL on offense. On defense, the oldest in the NFL.
Even with the young kids.
Even playing. With all the young guys
Golly.
Playing. The oldest. And so when you add the two together for the season, it was 28.3 or something. They were still the oldest in the NFL in terms of snaps. So a lot's been made about, look at all the young guys that are playing. And that's true. There's also a lot of old guys that are playing.
Yeah, they're still in there. Yeah, so, and again, I don't think, I said when they were struggling early this year, before some of these injuries hit, their best football is ahead of them. I actually still believe that. you know, if Terry McLaurin can put together multiple weeks where he's healthy, I think you'll finally see the player that held out and demanded all the money. I think same thing with Daniels, right? When they finally get some time together, this offense will be better as the season progresses if some of these guys come back and if they're able to maintain some modicum of health. So I don't think they're 3-5 bad. I don't think they'll lose five out of every eight games they play as assembled. I also don't think they're 12-5 good. I don't think they're NFC Championship game good. I didn't before the year, and I don't now. So what's closer, the storybook of last year or this like womp womp bottom falling out? Oh my God, this we're in a mudslide and we're going to finish 5-12. It's probably closer to this one, but I don't think this is this totally authentic either.
Yeah, I have a hard time with what's closer because in my mind, here's how I'm viewing it: if the season started again right now, we just hit a button, everybody's fully healthy, and the season starts again. And then your team is healthy for the entirety of 17 games. What would their record be? That's kind of how I'm trying to view it.
Okay.
Like, I believe that what's happening is largely a product of the injuries. But I'm also not naive where a lot of people are like, oh, they're going to go win 12 games. No, they're not. That's not a thing at all. But is it now that I've seen this defense, now that I've seen the regression of whether it's Ertz or Wagner or some of the guys with age, the fact that Jaden's not playing at the level he did as a rookie. Okay, so I said 10-7. Is it 9-8 probably if you start the season again and play 17 with everybody healthy? And I mean everybody. Like the list that Nikki Javala put together of man games missed, if you guys missed it, who covers the team for The Athletic, was really good. But when we're talking about injuries and games missed, you know, three games of Daniels with a knee and a hamstring, four games of McLaurin with the quad, who's back on the injury report. We'll see if he practices today. Six games of Noah Brown with a groin. He's on IR, is going to miss at least two more. A game of Debo Samuel's heel. So far, six and counting out for the year, Achilles of Austin Eckler. Two games of John Bates with a groin. A game of Colson Yankoff with a hamstring. Six games of Sam Cosmi with a knee. Six and counting for Dietrich Wise, who's out for the year with a quad. Four and counting of Javonte Jean-Baptiste, who's out potentially for the year with a pec. One and counting of Dorrance Armstrong, who's out for the year. Jonathan Jones missed four with a hamstring. Will Harris with the fibula on IR has missed five and counting. Percy Butler with a hip missed a game. Kicker Matt Gay with a back missed a game now as well. So if you had everybody for 17, like what would you expect this team to be? And is that record closer to 12-5 or where they're headed? Yeah, it might be smack dab in the middle.
I think it's in the middle for me.
I mean, that's boring, but it might honestly be like, you know, 9-10 wins. Let's go. Probably not even 10. I would say 8 or 9 wins, which is maybe in the middle of where they're headed and where they were last year. Steven Manassas, you're on the fan. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Good show. Yeah, I think we're right in the middle. And last year, we were ahead of schedule. We had an easy schedule, the Hail Mary. I mean, a lot of things just fell our way. This year, it's the opposite. But, you know, like Danny just said, I'm not giving up. I mean, I think our best football is ahead of us. We just got to let DQ and Peters do what, you know, what they were brought in to do, be patient. But I think we'll get there.
I want to get into the idea of patience next, too, because it's not like they have prioritized the future with how they've built this. In other words, it feels like when the season ends, you either have to start the rebuild then, in a sense, or really kick it into overdrive, or keep doing what you're doing, which is keep going out and getting these veterans.
Yeah, go and get vets is not a patience thing. When the Wizards ask me for patience, I go, I can make a joke, but sure. I'm like, yep, that's what we're doing. I get it.
But that's what I want to get into is, after a year like this, will they be more inclined to do that? Like take the step back in terms of roster and go younger? And I mean, right now, they only have a couple picks in the first four rounds.
Yeah,
most of their draft picks, they only have a handful of them. They had the lowest amount of picks this year in the NFL draft. That's going to happen again next year, barring a change where they bring in picks. And most of them are in the late rounds. So after a year like this, do they shift their philosophy? Is that something they should do? We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Arc Raiders. a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
But Kansas City continuing to hit their stride.
No doubt.
As Rice makes the catch for the touchdown.
Rashee Rice, one of two Chiefs that went for over 90 receiving yards on Monday night. That was Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the call on ESPN of Monday Night Football as Washington lost a third straight game, fell to 3-5. And the question we're asking you right now on Grant and Danny, which Commanders team is more authentic to what this program is in reality? Last year's group that was a super tough out that nobody wanted to play, forget 12 wins or an NFC championship game, but they were one of the really exciting young teams in the NFL. Or this year's group, which is the antithesis of that, where they're bottom feeders in the NFC. 800-636-1067. Danny, just before the break, somebody brought up this idea of, hey, let's be patient. Let's let this staff continue to build this thing up over time. That's not really what's been happening, though. Now, naturally, when you have a draft every year and you have free agency every year, you're going to add young talent. That is clearly something that is going to happen because you have the picks, you have the money. So it's not like they haven't added any young talent. Guys like Trey Amos and Mikey Sanders still, and they have done that. But in any area where you're choosing between basically spending and going really young, or you know, trading a veteran for draft picks to add more young talent, or the opposite of that, they've actually chosen to get older, to go more veteran. So that's where I struggle a little bit with the patience and the build part of this. Yes, they're simultaneously trying to build while winning, but especially this past offseason, after they got to the NFC Championship game, I didn't disagree with any of the decisions in real time, including Laremy Tunsil, who's been very good for them. But they made the fewest draft picks in the league this year.
I said that then, and I'm not going back on it now. I understand this. I'm raising my hand asking a question. Do you think it's ever going to come home to roost or bite you in the butt that you're the oldest team in the league and you got away with some great injury luck last year? I mean, the idea that Zach Ertz is just going to play 17 games, given what had happened the previous five seasons, is ridiculous to count on. And yet, here we are. And, you know, knock on wood, you know, everything seems fine. But you see my point. Like, it's a, I understand the process where you go, dude, our approach just now got us to the NFC title game. We're ahead of schedule. Don't apologize for that. Let's capitalize on it. Let's strike while the iron's hot. We're winning right now. I get that. Now it hasn't worked. I think, you know, you kind of get to go back and hindsight's 20/20 and go, you know, maybe it wasn't the best approach. Maybe it wasn't the best idea to just go veteran by default. Time and time and time and time and time again on short-term one-year deal, Will Hare, short-term one-year deal, pass rusher, short-term one-year deal, guy in his mid to upper 30s, et cetera. At some point, you need a talent influx. You delayed it because of how good you were last year. You don't apologize for that, but you sort of now have to kind of adjust course on the fly.
And here's, I guess, my larger point. At some point, I think you've got to do the tough thing of saying, we're not going to spend the money on that 34-year-old to just have a guy that we really like now. So what I mean by that is, let's just say you get to the offseason and you decide that Zach Ertz isn't coming back next year because he's retiring or whatever, right? Do you just go back and get in line for 33-year-old Tyler Higbee, who's going to turn 34 next football season? Do you just sign David Njoku, who's going to be 30, or Mark Andrews, who's going to be 30 as a free agent? Or do you invest in the youth that you already have, like Ben Sinnott? Do you draft a guy who's a real weapon and a pass catcher in the second round or something like that? And is that something they need to start doing? I think naturally it's going to happen to some extent, but I'd like to see them make it more of a priority after this year. And that's kind of my question. I don't think anyone had any issue trying to capitalize on the momentum, surround Jaden Daniels with weapons. You're accidentally really good. Let's see where this thing goes. But we all got smacked in the face here, and I think it is time to reset this offseason maybe and go, all right, let's start actually thinking more about 2 or 3 years down the road and really build this thing sustainably. Let's go to John, who's in Austin, Texas, listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, John?
Hey, Grant, Danny, how are you guys?
Good, man.
Very well, thanks.
I think there's kind of a medium ground here. I don't think that, obviously, we're not playing as well as last season. Obviously, we're not doing as, you know, great this season. I think with all the injuries, it's hard to really put a, you know, exact pinpoint on where we're at. I do agree with what you were just saying around the fact that, you know, the team probably needs to get younger, and those are issues we will have to address in the off season. You know, Zach Ertz not coming back, you know, Ben Sinnott was showing some signs of life, you know, this past Monday, and just all the injuries. We need to run the ball more. You know, we lost Austin Eckler. Debo was out a game. He's still battling injury. You know, Terry McLaurin was out, what, 3 games? Jaden's, you know, on track to, what, 2 or 3 now, or 2 or 2+? We definitely need
he's
to get younger.
Three, and yeah, I guess and more the coming. Question is what happens this week, although we were told he'll practice today. Now, they're not on the practice field yet. That's going to take place in about an hour, so we'll keep you abreast of that, and we'll definitely let you know, is he practicing or not. If you look at the age of the team, by the way, so Josh Johnson's the third-string quarterback. That is a flaw in that age affects your average age, but he's not playing. But you've got Ertz, who's 34. George Fant, who they brought in, who's 33. Chris Moore, who plays a lot, is 32. I don't know if people realize that, the wide receiver. Andrew Wiley's 31. Laremy Tunsil's 31. Trent Scott's 31. Marcus Mariota's 31. Terry McLaurin's 30. Among the guys that are over 30 years old, which isn't even to mention, you know, Bobby Wagner, obviously, but that's just the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, the data is pretty clear and pretty obvious. And the injury point, I think, is valid. But I also keep coming back to, there's a bunch of guys that aren't injured that are absolutely part of the plan or were part of the plan. Now, Marshawn Lattimore just had his best game, as far as I'm concerned, here in Washington with his great interception. I thought he was awesome. But that's not an injury problem. That's a guy that can't really do it very well at a sustainable level anymore. You know, Zach Ertz is part of the plan, leads the team in drops by a lot, and can't get extra yardage and can't, you know, isn't very dynamic. Now, I'm not ripping Zach Ertz, but it is what it is.
Yeah, not separating, not getting open like he did. And the things that he did so valuably last year are still benefits to the greater cause.
He'd still play for me.
But defensively, Von Miller's 36, Bobby Wagner's 35, Preston Smith's played more than anyone could have thought. He's 32. Jonathan Jones, who's been injured, is 32 years old. And then if you look at the injured players, by the way, Dietrich Wise is 31. Austin Eckler's 30. Will Harris is 29. Noah Brown's 29. Really, that's where I would start to say, like, if you're 28, that's still kind of that prime back end of the best years of your career. 29 is kind of where that falls off. Once you get to 30, now we start talking about veterans and age starting to set in a little bit. Doesn't mean you can't play anymore, as Wagner and Ertz have shown. Grant and Danny on the Fan. The projected total for Washington's wins has been updated. We'll take a good look at that and see which side we fall on next. Plus, I want you guys to hear as soon as we return what Michael Jordan had to say about load management. I think people will like this. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at UnitedHealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.